1100. Selected. Dentrica 1 of 1. Engage neural congress. Wireless auto shunt acquired. Uploading. Infotomb. Stryker dropped down through the maintenance hatch and into the magnelevator car. The heavy-duty doors to the temple infotombs were open. Beyond, the Skatari commander found the dusty darkness of a data crypt, darkness lit only by the sickly glow of corrupt machinery. Phrenos 361 drifted out into the chamber. Vanguard Skatari dropped down into the freight car two by two, their radium weaponry crackling with radioactive lethality. Stryker sent them off in two columns, left and right out of the doors and in opposite directions about the huge circular chamber. Banks upon banks of corrupted cogitators hummed to themselves, rancid with the glow of their fell calculations. Like concentric stacks in a labyrinthine library, the rune banks sat upon a set of cogs, smaller cogs sitting within the teeth of larger wheels. At one time, the infotomb mechanism had been intended to honor the Omnisire. Now, the architecture and colossal workings were warped and black. The teeth of the cogs were barbed, and the walls of the crypt were decorated with the crowded iconography of dread gods. The floor cogs turned back and forth within the madness of one another, with the clunk of colossal gears at work beneath the circular infotomb chamber. Warp-encrusted cabling, lines and data looms ran from each fetid bank to a towering static unit at the heart of the crypt, like ribbons on a festive pole. Phrenos 361 led the way, and the cybernetic soldiers followed. Filing through the maze of rune banks, supercogitator units that chunted to themselves in their code-corrupted madness, Stryker and his Skatari moved around, in and out of the ever-changing labyrinth. As the Vanguard Skatari worked their way through the data crypt, they came across ghoulish transmechanics. The things were cut off at the waist and trailed interface cabling from their ragged trunks, while their spindly arms and long fingers went to work at baroque spools that trailed filthy scroll print. They floated through the infotombs like evil spirits, hissing static and blurting deranged scrap code as they happened upon Stryker and his cybernetic soldiers. With conservative blasts from their radium carbines, the Skatari dropped the fell mechanoids. As Phrenos 361 led Stryker out of the maze of machines and across the central floor cog, the Skatari felt the chamber rumble and shake with the sound of detonations and heavy weaponry. Picked streams from the remaining Skatari in the underforge told the Primus that time was running out. Scrolling updates and fading biometrics told Stryker that caught between the demon engines of the Magnaplex Maximal and the monstrous Iron Warriors, his Skatari were being slaughtered. Of note, amongst the flow of data, was the death of 10 Victro Tiberiax, Skatari officer, recipient of the Crux Mechanicus, survivor of 4,372 enemy engagements, loyal construct of the Omnisire. Friend. The data filled Stryker with a cold fury buried in the logic of imperatives and protocol. Skatari existed only to prosecute the will of the machine god incarnate. In such an undertaking, losses were expected, as many as were necessary. Stryker had lost legions of Skatari soldiers during the doomed assault on Vulcanos Magna. While such astronomical losses did not eat away at the cybernetic commander as they might an officer of the Astra Militarum or even the Adeptus Astartes, Stryker still suffered some anxiety about how he was to be represented in the mission record. Would the hard data on the Dark Mechanicum Forge world judge him to have been a commander fighting impossible odds with a force insufficient? Or would he be judged as one who failed not only his Skatari soldiers, but also his Magi and Machine God? Advancing on the central unit, Stryker found himself facing a fell piece of machinery, a towering baroque meme bank of dark brass piping, twisted form and corruption, lit by the hellish light of its own lamps, buttons and screens. It was the Forge Temple's high altar of knowledge, warped to machine madness by the heretical data that it stored. As Haldron 44 Stryker approached, he saw that the abominate machine was a slowly melting mess, heated from within by the stream of molten sentience carried up from the demon core. It was powered by the liquid iron of the Abistra Dynamicron that flowed up through the Dark Altar and Forge Temple Underforge. Stryker's imperatives flashed up on his optical overlay. The sacred knowledge of the Forge Temple Principle, the eternity of secrets Engra Myrmidex had sent Stryker to secure, lay inside the corrupted meme banks of the Dark Altar. The prize that the Skitarii commander would deliver instead to Omnid Tor'Kora, should the Magos Explorator ever appear from the warp. "Secure the artifact," Stryker ordered, prompting his Skitarii to assume formation about the Dark Altar. "Phrenos!" Summoned, the servo skull drifted in on the blur of its magnetic cog. Landing on the gauntlet of the Primus, the drone waited. Approaching the Dark Altar with its separated ports and warp-encrusted interfacia, Stryker brought up his arm. "Interface and downstream," Stryker commanded. The Skitarii commander could not risk the virulent code corruption of linking himself to such a foul machine. Without code scrubbers or the Fabricator Locum's Magos Cathark, Stryker had no choice but to sacrifice his servo skull to the duty. "Scan and retrieve artifact data. Code Vermilion or above. File reverse chronological." Depositing Phrenos 361 in an interface alcove, Stryker took several steps back. Above, the temple underforge rocked with the thunder of heavy weaponry and death. He turned as the magnelevator doors closed and the car began its journey up through the temple. The Skitarii were running out of time. Feeling with its mechadendrites and cabling, the servo skull interfaced with the high altar of knowledge. As Phrenos 361 did so, its optics clunked to an infernal red. The hololithic projector set in the dome of its skull crackled to life. Stryker stepped back as the drone emitted an excruciating howl of machine suffering. The hololithic projection danced with the exquisite torment of corrupted machine spirits. These bled away to picked and hololithic captures as file after tainted file was downloaded. As Phrenos 361's optics grew darker and more infernal, Stryker found his own mesmerized by the technological treasures and hoarded secrets that flashed up before him. The discoveries, both terrible and amazing, that had been made by the Adeptus Mechanicus of Vulcanus Magna in the thousands of years before the great Gaia swallowed the Forge World. Dust rained from the ceiling as the battle in the forge above intensified. The floor cogs turned and the rune banks and corrupt cogitators circled the Skitarii commander. Even as a mere soldier of the cult Mechanicus, Stryker could see the wondrous knowledge that Vulcanos Magna had accumulated through experimentation, exploration, and recovery. The Dark Altar may have been corrupt, but it still held in the forgotten depths of its meme cores a priceless hoard of hard data. Hard data that would have made Engra Myrmidex the Fabricator General of his own Forge World. Hard data that might make Omnid Tor'Kora that still. Then, Stryker saw it. The briefest flash of a hololithic schemata. "Back," Stryker ordered, amongst the din of battle several levels above. Phrenos 361 let out a tortured hiss of displeasure before halting the download. As it moved back through picked captures of lost, vellum-scrawled knowledge and arcane technological wonders, Stryker streamed, "Stop!" There, sizzling and warping in the hololithic haze, Stryker saw the schemata for the Geller device. The etheric bomb that the Magi of Satzika Secundus had constructed and Engra Myrmidex had tested in the warp storm of the Great Gaia. Stryker's feeds scrolled with data and confirmations. Cross-referencing the STC designations and plate signatures, Stryker calculated a 98.567% probability that he was looking at exactly the same artifact that Magos Tor'Kora's survey teams had found on board the Stellar Zenithica. The info tombs echoed with the sound of rancid laughter. It was a mocking but miserable sound, laced with corrosion and age. As the floor cogs moved and rune banks parted, a tech priest of the Dark Mechanicum approached from his hiding place. Surrounded by so many corrupt devices moving about them, Stryker and his Skitarii had taken the power signature of the monstrous Magos to be a dying transmechanic or a rune bank. "Hold your fire!" Haldron 44, Stryker ordered. It seemed that there was more hard data to gather, and the Dark Altar could not give him the answers he needed. The Skitarii kept their crackling carbines on the interloper, moving their barrels in unison as he approached. Stryker held his plasma caliver up, ready to blast the Ancient to oblivion, should the Dark Mechanicum Tech Priest give any indication that he was going to attack. The Tech Priest was tall, stabbing the cog floor with stilt-like legs, but hunched in his circuit-laced black robes. Like a mantid construct, the Tech Priest ventured forth. His modulated laughter transformed as he approached Stryker and the Dark Altar. Within gangly steps it had become the roar of existential doom and some kind of machine sobbing. Stryker's cogitator coils arrived at a calculated guess. "Far enough," the Skitarii commander told the Dark Mechanicum abomination. "Archfabricant." The corrupted Magos knelt down, the flesh-fused hydraulics of his long legs bending and his knees crashing into the floor. Pulling back his hood with cruel claw appendages, the Archfabricant revealed the little that was left of him. A warped spinal column leading to a cancerous brain, that itself was stored in an interfaced jar of sickly suspension. "Lord Prophet Technos," Stryker said. "Alcan Nostromari, former Fabricator General of Velkanos Magna." There were bits of Nostromari that remained in the mantid mechanoid that knelt before the Dark Altar. In the nest of twisted optics, veins, and augers that gave the Archfabricant the appearance of a withered insect, Stryker could see a misty eyeball. The remnants of corrupted flesh threaded through the nightmare of the construct's spiny workings. It appeared to Stryker, despite the horror of its augmented form, to be a thing that knew it had lived long enough. A scavenger of forbidden technologies, of lost knowledge and heretical desires, whose ongoing existence was fueled by the warp and whose gangling form was crafted in hellfire. "Speak," Haldron 44 Stryker commanded, his gauntlet digit hooked around the Kelever trigger.
"We are doomed, you and I,"
Alcan Nostromari said. His voice was a modulated whisper, a hiss that was vented with a black steam from vox grills set in his mandibular cheeks. Haldron 44 Stryker pointed to the STC schemata that warped and flickered in the servo skull's hololithic projection. "You have this artifact, the original STC file for this arcane device, stored in a reliquary or vault?" Stryker put to their prisoner.
"No,"
Nostromari corrected him with a brief puff of black steam.
"It was taken from this temple without my permission."
"By whom?" Stryker pressed, leaning in with his plasma caliver.
"Who else?"
the Archfabricant wheezed.
"Idris Grendel of the Iron Warriors."
"The monsters who attack your forge world?" the Skitarii commander clarified. As Alcan Nostromari nodded his repulsive head, Stryker's mind whirled. His cogitator coils burned with the processing of probabilities. Odds that the warped Iron Warriors warsmith, Idris Krendel, had already run and put in play. Krendel, who had taken the STC file and deposited it on board the Stella Zenithica, just ahead of the Maestral's survey of Perboria. Who had allowed the Adeptus Mechanicus to recover the wonder of the Geller device in the predictable expectation that such a find would be constructed and tested on the nearest warp storm anomaly in the sector, the Great Gaia.
"We are undone,"
Alcan Nostromari said.
"Betrayed. Mechanicum and Mechanicus, both."
"Silence, traitor," Stryker warned.
"Your magi by the bottomless appetite for knowledge that plagues both our kind. Like Velkanos Magna, Satzika Secundus, doomed itself."
"Explain," Haldron 44 Stryker demanded, his armored digit tapping at the caliver trigger.
"You think that you were the first to construct the Geller device?"
the Archfabricant mocked.
"The wonder was ours. We built the etheric bomb and test detonated the device in the nearby Moor Storm. We foolishly hoped to drive the storm and the things that inhabited it back into the warp. A single device reduced the Moor Storm by half. We were eager to get back to Falconus Magna to build another bomb to finish the job. What we hadn't realized was that in strengthening the interdimensional bonds of reality in one place, we weakened them in another. Traveling up the warp trails of our arcships, back to Falconus Magna, a new storm erupted. The real space anomaly you call the Great Gaia. The Magi and citizens of Falconus Magna welcomed a new age. A dark age of enlightenments. As Satseeker Secundus will do also.
Never, Haldron 44, Stryker said. But his vox-hailed announcement rang hollow.
Perhaps you are more right than you know, simple Scutarius,
Alcan Nostromari decided.
You betrayed yourselves. I have been betrayed by traitors with whom my forge world traded. By those it called allies. Falconus Magna should have chosen better ones. The bitterness of betrayal runs in the Iron Warrior's blood.
The Archfabricant gestured at the dark altar and the molten sentience of the Abistra Dynamicron that ran through its corrupted workings.
Iron favors iron. The demon patron of my world wishes to spread its pollution beyond the confines of Falconus Magna. It wishes to infect the core of Satseeker Secundus and the hundreds of forge worlds beyond. Idris Krendel and the Iron Warriors of the Obliterati will see to it that the Abistra Dynamicron gets its wish. The Warsmith will be rewarded with an empire of iron. Forge worlds whose industry will drive a conquest of the galaxy, with Idris Krendel and his Obliterati Iron Warriors at its head.
A shrieking sound made Stryker turn. It was Phrenos 361. The servo skull's optics burned to blackness with the corrupt data passing through its workings. Its cog blade began to whir to searing acceleration, while the bone of its skull trembled. Horns and spikes grew from the skull as it changed shape to assume the ghoulish visage of some demonic creature. The shriek threatened to damage equalizers, but before it could, Phrenos 361 exploded. Pieces of warped skull, polluted workings, and shards of spinning magnetic cogblade shot out in all directions. As pieces of cogblade slashed through Stryker's warplate like frag, Alcan Nostromari took his opportunity. Bringing his plasma caliver back up, Stryker leveled the weapon at the Archfabricant. Nostromari suddenly lurched for the Scutari commander. Stryker couldn't calculate whether it was a feverish attempt on his life by the corrupt Magos or some last offering to the Abistra Dynamicron. There was a good possibility, the Primus reasoned, that Alcan Nostromari simply wanted to end it all. The scathing effects of the Gela device, the betrayal of his demon patron, the loss of Falconus Magna to Iron Warriors riding in on the invasion of the Adeptus Mechanicus. These were all reasons why a Magos who had lived well beyond even a cybernetic lifespan might welcome the end. Execute! Stryker screamed. As Alcan Nostromari's stilt appendages took him across the cog floor at Stryker, radium rounds crackling with radioactivity blasted the wasted construct to robe-shredding pieces. As the Dark Mechanicum Archfabricant shattered across the floor of his info-tomb, a moment of silence descended. Stryker pulled pieces of Phrenos 361's cogblade from where they were embedded in his back and side. Tossing the fragments to the floor, Stryker noticed how quiet it truly was, even on the levels above. Teleportation signatures, he screamed as his overlays told him of incoming materializations. Scutari, take cover! The leaden smear of materialization assumed form about the info-tombs, the shapes of malformed traitor space marines towering over the rune banks. Stryker knew that they were all dead once the Iron Warriors arrived. They had silenced the Skitarii above. Haldron 44 Stryker, conversely, aimed to make as much noise as possible. "Fire in the hole!" Stryker warned. Snatching a hydrogen flask from where it was mag-locked to his belt, Stryker threw the spare container at a shimmer of materialization several stacks back. Bringing the plasma caliver up to his cheek, Stryker fired. The ball of plasma struck the flask, detonating its contents. The blast knocked Vanguard Skitarii off their feet and Stryker back into the dark altar. Several Iron Warrior monstrosities assumed form inside the detonation. Two were lost in the globe of raging obliteration that ballooned from the exploding flask. Other Iron Warriors were caught in a furious backwash of heat and plasma, turning them into monstrous infernos. As Iron Warriors appeared, they raised the horrific clubs of malformed limbs and pointed the metal barrels of mutating weapons at the Skitarii. The brutes were small mountains of warped flesh and plate, while their arms were nests of fused weaponry. Ducking low behind possessed cogitators and warp-encrusted rune banks, the Skitarii soldiers returned fire with their radium carbines, radioactive bullets punching through flesh metal and aged plate. The Iron Warriors cared little for the cover the info tombs afforded, sweeping the monstrous weaponry of their altered bodies back and forth. Bullet-shattered rune banks exploded before the streams of heavy gunfire, and cybernetic soldiers were blown limb from limb. "Fire in the hole!" Stryker called again, a second hydrogen fuel flask in his gauntlet. As a hail of cannon fire shredded through the foil of his greatcloak, the Primus turned. Several Iron Warrior monstrosities were stomping through demolished rune banks at him. Bouncing the flask across the floor at the mutated space marines, Stryker blasted the container at their armored feet. The info tombs rocked with the blast. The hydrogen detonation had not only enveloped the traitor space marines in an expanding blaze, it had decimated the cog floor of the chamber, shattering the great mechanism below. The floor collapsed. The raging glow of the demonic core filled the data crypt as flooring, mechanism, and Iron Warriors disappeared. Displaced rock tumbled with wreckage and flaming bodies into the chasmic damnation of the Abistra Dynamicron. As the cogs continued to turn, floor plates and cogitator banks toppled over the edge and down towards the demonic planetary core. The air thundered with the storm of shot and shell directed at the Skitarii commander. Sliding down across the floor, Stryker scrambled behind moving rune banks as a path of shredded destruction followed him. The Iron Warrior gunfire was merciless. Cybernetic soldiers were blown apart before Stryker, and one by one he saw the last biometric signatures of his Skitarii legion fade. As the sparking shells of possessed cogitators toppled before the onslaught, Stryker found that he was without cover and the target of multiple flesh weapons. It was the leaden smear of a materialization that saved him. Even the Iron Warriors wouldn't shoot through one of their own number. Appearing before Stryker and drowning him in his shadow, an armored abomination bled into the reality of the info tomb. Stryker suddenly realized that the Iron Warrior had a Sicarian rust stalker on his back. He brought up his plasma gun, but could not fire for fear of hitting his remaining soldier. As the Iron Warrior turned around, attempting to throw the cybernetic soldier from his hunched back, Stryker recognized the Iron Warrior's officer from the platform. The warped Chaos Space Marine, whose face had slipped through the wire mesh of a cage and down onto his bulging neck and shoulder like a melted sculpture. Idris Krendel, warsmith of the Iron Warriors and leader of the Obliterati. Krendel gave a half snarl as he reached for the Rust Stalker with his colossal, malformed claws. As the Iron Warrior did so, Stryker saw that it was Nalo Decker 871, who had leapt on the monster's back just moments before he had teleported. Stabbing his transonic blades furiously into the flesh metal of the Iron Warrior, Decker was suddenly enveloped in the thing's demonic claws. Seizing the princeps in a vice-like grip, Krendel peeled the Skitarii assassin from his hunched back. Bringing his monstrous arm down with otherworldly force, Krendel smashed Decker into the metal floor of the chamber. Seconds later, Nalo Decker 871 was a broken pile of shattered bionics and splattered flesh. With annoyance, Idris Krendel plucked the transonic blade that was still shivering through his flesh and flung it away. As Krendel looked up, he saw how close Stryker was. The Skitari officer was holding his plasma caliver on the Chaos Space Marine. Blasting him back, Stryker heard the satisfying roar of a Chaos Space Marine in pain. Balls of plasma seared and flashed as they struck the monster's armor-embedded flesh. The Warsmith stormed straight back at Stryker, his heavy footsteps quaking across the Infotomb floor. "Whether I live or die," Stryker Vox hailed at Krendel, "today you die, monster!" Before the Iron Warrior could reply, Stryker pulled his final hydrogen flask from his belt and threw it up at the ceiling. He blasted the flask with his plasma caliver, and the air above them blazed and expanded like a nova. Being much taller, Krendel was hit first, the force of the explosion knocking him back through a column of cogitators. Stryker was smashed straight into the floor, his bionics clattering as he was blasted head over appendages away. With his optic array flickering and overlays sizzling from striking his head on the floor, Stryker suddenly felt the ground fall out from under him. Snatching out with a gauntlet, the Skitari officer grabbed for the edge of the demolished floor section. Hanging by his fingertips, Stryker looked down at the swirling patterns of sentient hatred raging through the molten iron of the demon core. The Abistra Dynamicron hungered for Stryker. It wanted his flesh and iron. It desired his soul. Hauling himself up, Stryker latched onto the edge with his other gauntlet. Pushing up with his arms and with his metal legs still dangling above the infernal core, the Skitari commander saw Idris Krendel stumble back through the wreckage of rune banks and wave off his trigger-happy iron warriors.
"I've been stabbed, burnt, and shot, tin soldier," Idris Krendel told him.
The Warsmith's voice surprised Stryker. It was a deep rumble, like the distant thunder of guns on the breeze. It was still the voice of an officer, however, not a monster. Krendel looked down at the scorched stump that remained of his arm. Pursing his half-lips, the Iron Warrior blew out a flame where his flesh was burning.
"I was on board the Stainless when she crashed into Balzac Minora. I was at the Eternal Fortress when the Sons of Gilliman rained fire from orbit. On Lesser Demantine, my brothers tried to bury me under a mountain of metal, stone, and corpses. Yet, here I am. A word of advice to you, then. If you're going to kill me, you'd better kill all of me."
Krendel gave Stryker a nasty half-smile. From the smouldering stump of his arm, Stryker saw the flesh metal of muzzles emerge. Like plants competing for sunlight, a nest of cannon barrels grew from the roasted ruin of the monstrous arm. Before the mutating arm had time to finish its transformation, the weapons began to fire. With shells raining about him, Stryker rolled across the cog floor. Unlocking appendages from his back cradles, the Skitarius brought his arc mauls to life. By the time he had completed the roll and was storming towards the Iron Warrior, his pistols had hydraulically deployed along their rails and were blasting a voltaic storm at Krendel. Stryker's overlays flashed the urgency of evasive actions and screamed the hopelessness of engaging the vile form of a Chaos Space Marine in battle. In defiance of such warnings, Stryker surged on, knowing he had to close with the monstrous Iron Warrior. As shells sparked off the alloy of his appendages, one of his newly deployed arc mauls was blasted away. Rotating his shoulder joints and turning in his torso cradle, Stryker rained arc streams and the merciless thud of his remaining maul down on the monstrosity. Krendel crackled and spat, his obscene form a spidery cage of arcing energies. The maul sparked off the Iron Warrior's ancient plate, but Krendel was like a small mountain of flesh, iron and ruin. He was both immovable object and unstoppable force. Within moments, Stryker came to understand in brutal reality what his overlays had only been communicating in theory. The inevitability of defeat. He was a holy warrior of the Omnisire, however, last of the Skitari on Vulcanos Magna, and he fought on. The Iron Warrior moved with otherworldly grace and speed, despite his size and monstrosity. He fought with the strength and precision of a killer 10,000 years in the crafting. He was a corruption of the Emperor's ideal, but a demigod all the same. A princely perversion of genetic engineering, driven by the bitterness and rage of an empire denied. Stryker felt Krendel's cannons chew through the hydraulics of his leg. The Skitarii smashed and blasted at the towering monstrosity, with movements as slick as his battered workings would allow. He could not avoid the backhand of the Space Marine's mighty claw that sent him staggering through wreckage. The barbed teeth of a chain fist spat gobs of flesh from the edge of the Iron Warrior's outstretched palm as the blade emerged from the monstrous claw. The flesh metal of the weapon and Stryker's bionics met in a spectacular fountain of sparks, the Iron Warrior shearing the Skitarii commander's arm and maul appendage off at the rotating shoulder joint. Stryker limped and tried to turn, bringing his remaining arc pistol up to meet his enemy. His overlays flashed warnings and streamed data that he could barely process. Before his targeters could get a fix on the warsmith, Krendel stamped down on a rune bank, sending its bulk at Stryker. Smashed between the polluted machine and the chamber wall, the Skitarius staggered this way and that. His leg was a mangled mess and his acquisition reticules a blur. His calibrators refused to answer. Arc streams seared across the decimation of the info tomb, but hit nothing. He could hear the throaty satisfaction of Idris Krendel, a dark chuckle that built from within the Iron Warrior's chest. Krendel grabbed Stryker's battered combat chassis in one huge claw, turned and launched him into the wall. The Skitarius could feel little, but his systems sizzling away as workings shattered and his helm smashed into the cracking rockcrete of the wall. As Stryker tried to get up, he found that his overlays and streams were gone. Targeting was not functional. His cracked optics flickered with the static of system trauma. He got the blurry impression that the Iron Warriors of the Obliterati were gathering about him, like a darkness closing in. He could hear their grim mirth and the bitterness of their hatred. Stryker tried to bring his arc pistol up, but Krendel pinned the workings of his remaining arm against the wall. The Skitarius couldn't move. Stryker saw Krendel up close, his half-face leering through its wire cage. He felt the nest of barrels against his midriff. As they fired in unison, the blasts shredded through the workings of Stryker's torso socket. As his metal legs fell away, Krendel gunned the chain blade, shearing through Stryker's remaining arm at the elbow joint. Grabbing him by the alloy stump of his ruined hydraulics, Idris Krendel threw Stryker at the feet of his Iron Warriors, like a lump of meat to dogs. He lay on the floor, bereft of the machine god's blessings. The blessed energy of the motive force bled away. The ruined warplate of his chest rose and fell with the rattle of each doomed breath. Helpless, Haldron 44 Stryker worked the stub of his arm. He lay in a growing pool of his own blood and oil, his smashed optics crackling with the silhouettes of closing Iron Warriors. The Skitarius felt the quake of Idris Krendel's footsteps. The warsmith towered over him. As Haldron 44 Stryker felt his system slipping away and his machine god abandon him, the warsmith contorted his half-face around an ugly sneer.
"Flesh. Iron," Idris Krendel said. "You are unworthy of either, tin soldier, of a tin god."
Then, finally, to the Iron Warriors gathered about him, Krendel commanded,
"This one lives. If you can call this living. He thinks he honors his maker with the gargle of each drowning breath. But we shall show him what it truly is to suffer for his God."